Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. This passage of Scripture is a great prayer for you to pray when you get ready to read your Bible, and tonight we're going to see why. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Some of you may pray that. But tonight we want to look in the Bible and see why praying that prayer every time you get ready to read or study is so vital and so important to our understanding of the Scripture. Mike Haven, pray for us. Yep. Amen. Amen. So the psalmist here, and he doesn't say who it is, this particular psalm has 176 verses. And every verse, with the exception of three, deals directly with the Word of God. Either the law, the testimonies, the ways, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the words, or the ordinances. One of those words is used in every verse but three. And so it's a tremendous psalm. In the New Testaments that we pass out, there's still a box of them back there in case you need some more. These, the first thing you find when you get inside past the letter that we have written is just a little introduction, and then right into Psalm 119 before you even get into the studies and into the New Testament. So it's a tremendous psalm. It really is. And that is a tremendous verse. I can remember, I don't even remember how many years ago, decades ago, a preacher suggested, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, pray that prayer right there. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And the reason is this: when the Lord opens your eyes, you see some things. When the Lord opens your eyes, first of all, you see things that you could not have understood. There are people who read the Bible and say, "Well, I just don't understand what I'm reading." And I understand that sometimes that comes from somebody who's newly been saved and they're not used to the structure of the sentences. They're not used to some of the words. They're not used to the these and the thous and begats and begots and other things like that. And so it's not so much that they don't understand, but they're frustrated. And because they're not spending time in the Bible, then they're limited in how much they're going to understand because they get frustrated. Other times they don't understand because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And what happens is the Bible immediately begins to reprove them of some things that are wrong in their lives. The Bible is Scripture, and the Holy Spirit begins to correct them about some things that are in their lives, and they won't take the reproof, they won't take the instruction, they won't take the correction, and so they're not going to understand because the life doesn't change to begin to fit what the words of God are saying. Those things can limit the understanding, but sometimes the reason that the understanding is limited, and this is the part we want to talk about tonight, is that the person reading is trying to understand it, listen, on his own. Or trying to understand it on her own. It's a supernatural book. And there are things in here that you're not going to get, you could not possibly have understood by yourself. You need the Lord to show you, and it's a good thing to start out and say, "Lord, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." So let's depart from that verse right now, and we're going to look at some scripture tonight. Turn with me, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And notice something that Moses wrote. Deuteronomy 29, 29. You can remember that one pretty easily because of the double number. 29, 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So Moses tells us right away, there are a lot of things about God that are a secret. And some of those secret things God reveals. Those things which are revealed belong unto us. You know, God has some things that He wants you to know, and He's not going to show you until He reveals those things to you And he's not really going to reveal those things to you until he sees an interest on your part in learning them. This doesn't read like a newspaper. And it was never intended to read like a newspaper. It doesn't read like a novel. And it never was intended to read like a novel. It is intended to read like a holy book. And the Lord, this Bible, says the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and some other things, and then says this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This Bible knows what you're thinking. And when the Bible sees that there's an interest, that you've humbled yourself and asked the Lord to open your eyes, the Holy Spirit then recognizes that and begin to reveal some things to you. And everything else is a secret. And no matter how hard you try, I don't care if you go to Hebrew and Greek and old manuscripts, I don't care if you go to every commentary, every man that's ever written a commentary has ever written on this earth, you're not going to know him because the teacher hadn't taught you and he hadn't shown you and he hadn't shown anybody else. And when he decides he wants to, he'll show you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. God does that on that hiding, that concealing, that secrecy. He does it on purpose. Have you ever played a game as a child called hide and seek? Have you ever played that game? Yeah, everybody here has played that game. What fun would that game be if, here's the deal. You and your friends are playing, you go, okay, one, two, three, four. Everybody's, the guy that's supposed to look is counting, right? 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Here I come, ready or not. And he goes, I don't know, this is going to be too hard. And he goes in the kitchen and starts drinking milk. Well, first thing, he's not going to find anybody that hid, right? And that's no fun. And you know what the Lord does is he says, I'm going to conceal some things. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. One man said this, and I believe it's right. If I could understand everything that's written in this book, then I would know that God is no greater than man. But because there are many things in this book that I don't understand, I realize that the author is much greater than man. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But then notice the next part of that chapter, that verse. But the honor of kings is to, what's the next word? Search. Search out a matter. So God plays hide and seek with us. I got some things here I want you to know, but I want you to search for them. Because it's my glory to conceal them. And it's your honor to search them. If you're not lazy, you can come to the Lord and say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And he's going to start showing you some things. Are you a king? Well, you're the child of a king, right? And the Bible says at the end of this time, when we've been raptured and we're with the Lord in heaven, he's going to make us kings and priests to reign with him on the earth. So yeah, you are. You're like princes. Kings in waiting, if you will. And so, it is our honor to search out a matter. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Paul had been preaching in Thessalonica, and it didn't go very well there. He was run out of town. The Jews really, really got upset with him being there. So he went to Berea in Acts chapter 17, verse 10. The brethren sent him away. Paul was pretty brave. He probably wouldn't have left on his own, but the brethren said, you need to get out of town, partly because once you leave, it's going to be easier on us. So Paul left, and he went to Berea. And when he got there, in verse 10, he went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now watch this, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So you never sit down and search the scriptures? You know, it's an amazing thing what God will show you. And it's not something necessarily that you have to go out and tell everybody else that you found. You don't need to put it in your tweets and Facebook and all that other stuff. Like, hey, man, you don't want to see what God showed me? Everybody that read that wouldn't believe you anyway, and they'd think you were proud for doing it. But there are times when you're searching something, God wants to show you something that's worth you knowing. But may I tell you something? He's not going to do that until you search. And he's not going to show you until he reveals it, until he opens your eyes and shows you what's in there. You know, today you would get the idea, really, from listening. Do you ever listen to Christian radio? I do. There's several stations that you can get. I might listen to something on the internet that's by a preacher or whatever. And sometimes when you listen to guys, you get the idea that you have to go to Bible college for several years, and then you have to be able somehow or another to get a Hebrew lexicon or a Greek lexicon and be able to go back to one of those words from which the King James Bible was translated to be able to get into its deeper meaning so that you can really understand what's going on. And may I tell you something? The Bible's not like that at all. Not even close. You would get that idea because the scholars kind of hold themselves out as being sort of a special class of people who are able to dig in and find things that you could never find because you're just peons and we're scholars. You get that idea sometimes. Even the way that the voice changes, they kind of have an oration that's like a professional. Luke chapter 10, it's not like that at all. And when Jesus Christ was here in the earth, he was thanking God one day. I mean, it's recorded that he was thanking God one day. I'm certain that he thanked him all the time, but what he thanked him for on this particular day is recorded for us in the Scripture in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, now you realize he has been, who did he pick to train for the ministry? An old reprobate tax collector, four fishermen, right? A devil, Judas Iscariot. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? I mean, you know, it's a pretty motley crew if you get right down to it. Correct? All right, and he says, they go out and they're doing some work, and they come back in verse 17, and he's got 70 more now that he sent out with them, and you can imagine, they're the same caliber. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a big deal. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now the Lord, after he tells them that, says he's going to thank God for these 70 and those 12. He says this, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. May I tell you something? Every person in here tonight is qualified. You really are to dig into the Scripture and learn some things. If you will remember not to come to the Lord as, I am so wise and I am so prudent and I know so much Bible and I'm so big. God's not interested in that. He's interested in babes who will search and who will look to him for the proper understanding. Look to him to teach them. And then he can reveal something to you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I say that because here we have a lot of mothers and you're occupied fully with work and cleaning and household responsibilities and the care for your children. You got a lot of things going on. You get in there and you're thinking, oh, you know something? I heard a preacher say one time, it's going to be a sight when we get to heaven. There are going to be some gnarly, knuckled grandmothers up in heaven sitting in these chairs with these Bible scholars, so-called, sitting cross-legged underneath their chairs, and these gnarly, knuckled grandmothers are going to be saying, now let me show you what this says right here in the Bible. Because these mothers got up when they were younger, early, and made the breakfast and worked on a wood stove and cleaned that house and got those children raised up and did all those chores. And when the sun about to set, sat on a porch in a rocking chair and got her an old King James Bible and started rocking back and forth and started reading in that Bible, and God showed her some things. He said, now those women will be up there teaching some of those scholars what the Bible really said. Why is that? Because they were trusting God to teach them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen. May I tell you something? Your eye has not seen any of the stuff you're reading about in this Bible. You've never seen heaven. You've never seen God. You've never seen the Holy Spirit. You've never seen New Jerusalem. You've never seen the streets of gold. You never saw the cross. You've never seen the resurrection. None of those. You've never seen any of it. You have no idea what's on the other side. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But watch it. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who wouldn't want to get before God and search out and play hide and seek with God and find the things that he's concealed, that he wants to reveal? Concealed, revealed. Concealed, revealed. Who wouldn't want to find those things? Earnestly asking God to open our eyes so that we could find them. May I tell you something? Honestly? If God would open the eyes of Israel, they would be saved tonight. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, you know, you've read that great passage, here am I, send me. Right? Here am I, send me. All right? So the Lord said, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to shut their eyes and I want you to stop their ears so that they cannot see and they cannot understand. Why? Because they don't believe. So he shut their eyes. And when Jesus Christ came, if you and I, believing what we believe, could see those miracles that he performed and have our sins forgiven the way that he forgave sins of the people there, we'd be right with him, boy. Sign us up. We're with you, Lord. Those Jews saw him and they didn't get it. They didn't believe him. And their eyes, Matthew 13, shut, ears shut, hearts waxed gross, fat. Paul's preaching Acts chapter 28, still blind. Still blind. Romans chapter 11, look with me. Romans chapter 11, in verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and he is our Savior, and Israel's not saved. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, thank God it's in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles became in. Paul believed. He got saved. Barnabas believed. He got saved. Peter believed. He got saved. There are a bunch of them that did believe and got saved. So in part. But for a nation, totally blind. But may I tell you something? Jesus Christ is coming back at his second advent. There'll be a remnant of Israel there when he returns. And he's going to open their eyes. And from that day forward, every single Jew, all of them and all those that are born, are going to be born with the knowledge of God. They'll all know him. He could do it like that. If he can do that for Israel, just like that, don't you know he can open your eyes to show you things in this scripture that he wants you to know? But you got to trust him and you got to dig. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let him show you some things. So when the Lord opens your eyes, you see things you could not have understood, because they have to be revealed. And then when the Lord opens your eyes, you listen, here's the next thing. You see things you could not have seen. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. When he opens your eyes, you see things you could not have understood. Now you can say, oh, I see it. And when he opens your eyes, you see things you could not have seen. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is Elisha. Elisha follows Elijah as the great prophet in Israel. Well, in verse 15, when Elisha's servant, the servant of the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? The city is surrounded, horses and chariots. And there are a bunch of them there. Elisha answered in verse 16, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, as far as Elisha's servant is concerned, there's just the two of them. What you talking about, bro? Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, before that happened, the servant, who is probably Gehazi, he's looking around there and he goes, What do you mean? What do you mean? The ones that are with us are more than the ones that are out there. Look at all those horses and chariots. And it's just you and me, man. He says, open his eyes. And he looks up and those mountains are surrounded with horses and chariots of fire. He could not see them until the Lord opened his eyes. Correct? Take a look at a couple of other instances. Genesis chapter 21. Lord, the prayer is, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me just show you what God can do when he opens somebody's eyes. Genesis chapter 21 verse 19. Here's the problem. Hagar, it's time for Hagar and Ishmael to be gone. And they got kicked out of the house. And when they go, they've run out of water. And so she hides Ishmael under a bush. She separates because she doesn't want to see the death of her son. And God shows up. And in verse 19, God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. May I tell you something? That well of water has been there the whole time. She couldn't see it. She couldn't see it until the Lord opened her eyes. And then she's like, whoa. And when she saw the well of water, she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And that was the end of the problem. She couldn't see it. All right, turn with me to Numbers chapter 22. I'm not going to show you every instance, but I want you to see a few. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. Numbers chapter 22. You remember a guy named Balaam? Yeah, what was Balaam doing? Balaam got hired by a king named Balak so he could go out and curse Israel. Did he want to curse them? The Bible says he did. He did want to curse them, but what he also wanted was the honor that he could get from Balak, and he wanted the money he could get from Balak. And so he went over there and said, I got to say what God tells me to say. And you know what the Lord does? He opens his eyes. And every time that Balaam gives a prophecy, he says, the man that was in the trance, the man whose eyes the Lord opened. And when he opened his eyes in Numbers chapter 22, look at verse 31. The first time he opened them, he can't figure out why this ass that he's riding is running him into a wall, falling down and giving him a hard time. He's trying to beat this thing to death. But verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was there the whole time. The donkey could see it, but he couldn't. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and a sword drawn in his hand and bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. You know what's what's in this room that you can't see right now? I believe the devils are around here. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is here. I know the Holy Spirit is here. And likely there are some angels. I mean, don't let that impress you or freak you out. They're His ministering spirits. He does things that He wants them to do. They're here, but you can't see them. You know, the funny thing is, you see what you see. You see, as one man said, you see what you want to see. And the trouble is, there's a lot more you could see, but you can't see them because of a problem. Your eyes aren't open. Now, don't get all freaked out. The welder's going to teach us this method. We're going to walk out of here. We're going to see chariots of fire and horses of fire in the parking lot when we get ready to drive home. No, no. But you are going to see something. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. You are going to see something. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, you know, this is very famous. We've been to this passage many times. There's guys walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking now with Jesus. Verse 15, Luke 24, verse 15. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, watch it, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What was the problem? Verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They're looking at Jesus Christ, but because their eyes are holden, they can't see him. All right, so you know the story. They walk until it comes supper time, and then Jesus is pretending like he's going to keep on walking. They invite him in, and so he decides to stay with them. All right, verse 25. When he finds out that they're all despondent because they know that Jesus Christ is supposed to have risen, and it's reported that he's been risen, but they don't believe it. He said unto them, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, may I tell you something? You have Moses and all the prophets tonight. He didn't give them anything you don't have. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. May I tell you something tonight? You've got the scriptures. You got them in your hand. I have them up here on the pulpit. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then he pretends to be going on. Then they convince him to stick around. So he takes bread in verse 30, and he blesses it and breaks it and gives it to him. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. How did they know him? Their eyes were open, but where did he start? With the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet and the holes in his side, the hole in his side? Where did he start? With the scriptures. With the scriptures. Look what they say in verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he, what's the next word, opened to us the scriptures. What he did for them that day, he can do for you. If you will believe the scriptures. If you will believe the scriptures. Look in verse 25. Well, not 25, we've already been there. Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. Same thing. Verse 44 for the context. Because he's now shown up with his disciples. They're all freaked out. He said, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And verse 41, I didn't tell you that. While they yet believe not for joy. Now verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, you got it, and in the prophets, you got them, and in the Psalms, you got them, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and that's when they got it. That's when they got it. Do you understand the way that he revealed himself to the men on the road to Emmaus, the way he revealed himself to his disciples, is the way that he wants to reveal himself to you? And you don't have to see him physically to know him. You see him through the scriptures the way he wanted his disciples to know. He wants your understanding to be opened. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The thing is, you'll see, we'll put it all together here. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 16. Ephesians 1:16, Paul's praying for the Ephesians, and he says, see, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What? Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints. Saints today are discouraged like the men on the road to Emmaus, and the problem is your eyes aren't open. And you're not seeing the man Christ Jesus. You're not knowing the man. You're not allowing him to reveal himself to you. in the depth and breadth of those things He wants you to know about Him so that you'll realize, hey, this is the God I can trust. This is the guy that organizes my life. This is the God who made me. This is the God that has the plan for me. This is the God who knows how this works better than I do. This is the God that I need to trust. That your eyes of your understanding be enlightened. It's the same revelation as the servant of Elisha got. He looks up and he goes, man, I was so overwhelmed by all the things that I saw around me, I couldn't see all the other things that God had provided that are so much greater than the circumstances that I see, until his eyes were opened. And God's not going to open your eyes and show you a bunch of chariots and horses of fire. He's going to open your eyes and enlighten your eyes in the Scripture, and He's going to reveal the God of Jesus Christ to you in a way that will absolutely meet every need that you have. He is all sufficient, all powerful, all present, all God. And then in the same way that the servant of Elisha goes, oh, cool, wow, we really do have him whipped, you can walk in the victory of Jesus. But you see, what he saw physically when his eyes opened, you've got to see in a different way. Why? Because your eyes are open now, but they're open the wrong way. Do you remember what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Do you remember what happened in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil came and he said to Eve, hey, did God really say that? You shall not surely die? He says, because God knows in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. And they ate that fruit and their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked and they went and covered themselves with fig leaves. When you trust your eyes, they don't see anything the right way. They're messed up by sin. You look at your children and you don't see the right way. You're looking with eyes that are messed up by sin. You need to look with eyes that are enlightened by God. You need God to open your eyes so He can show you things in that Scripture that talk to you about what He's doing in your life in the circumstances you're facing. He's doing things. We're praying, all of us are praying for various children that are in this ministry, the ones that are doing well and the ones that are doing not so well. And God's doing things. He's the only one who can. But when you look with your eyes, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it right. You know what you're going to do? You're going to see a situation that's bad and think it's better than it is. And you're going to see a situation that's good and you're going to think it's worse than it is. You got to start looking through the eyes of Scripture. You got to let God show you some things that are concealed in here that He won't show you until you dig, and He won't show you until you believe. And then He's going to show you. Now watch. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Our problem is we spend all day filling our eyes with the things that we see around us and very little time seeing the Scriptures, which are even more important about the things going on around us. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. When Paul gets saved, he has a commission. What is it? Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why does he send him? Verse 18, Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And you know what happens? We end up looking in darkness more than we end up looking in light. That's why he said that the eyes of your understanding might be, what's the word? Enlightened. You've got to let God show you things in this Bible that talk to you about your situation in life, that talk to you about things concerning that. Listen, you get a lot of doctrine here. Maybe more doctrine than you can digest. You're well fed here. But you and God have got to get together with you digging in here so He can show you some things about your life that He's doing. And you've got to see with light, not darkness. And how are you going to do that? How is He going to do that? You've got to ask Him to open your eyes that you can behold wondrous things out of His law. And what's that going to look like? Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Believe it or not, it's the last verse. Hebrews chapter 11. He's going to do it this way. What was the problem with the men on the road to Emmaus? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. They took matters into their own hands. They didn't believe him. And once he opened that scripture and once those hearts began to believe, then they could see. Now that's what he's going to do for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God said. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This pulpit up here right tonight is substance. If I threw it at you and hit you with it, it hurt. All right? It's substance. You know what he said? You put faith in what I said and you're going to have something substantial. It is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it takes those things that are a long way off that are coming in time and brings them down where you can start living by them and having substance in your life. Now, it is also the evidence of things, what are the next two words? Not seen. Listen, you don't have to see the cross to know that the cross works for your salvation. Did you not trust him? You didn't have to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to know the resurrection is operative in your life. Do you not now have eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes, you do. And you believe it with all your heart. You live by that. You know what that is? That substance. I do not go to sleep at night worrying that I'm going to wake up in hell if I die. And I never have and I never will. Why? I got something substantial that says to me, there's some evidence, baby. You hadn't seen it, but I've given you something. There's not a person in here that is riddled and rattled about their faith in Jesus Christ. You know he's coming. You don't doubt that. You never trouble yourself. But listen, the things you trouble yourself with in this earth, you know why you trouble yourself with them? You trouble yourself with them the same way a charismatic troubles themselves with eternal security. They don't believe they can be saved forever. They don't believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ was enough. So they've taken matters into their own hands and they've said, I got to live a good life. And if I live a good life, in addition to trusting Jesus Christ, then I get to go to heaven. And they spend all of their time worrying about, I might end up in hell. They've taken matters into their own hands. And they don't see. You show them the scripture, they don't see the truth of that scripture. Do you realize the same thing happens when you find yourself worrying, when you find yourself troubled, when you find yourself overwhelmed? You know what the problem is? You've taken matters into your own hands. And you haven't seen what God's been trying to show you. You got to dig in there. And I caution you to go digging, looking for that specific thing. Because you don't even know, you're seeing it in darkness. You don't even know what it looks like on God's side. You go in there digging, looking for God, and let him reveal when he's ready what he wants you to see. And it will change the way you view the things that trouble you now. It's called faith. And it's substantial, and it's evidence, and you don't have to see it with your human eyes in darkness. You see it with your eyes of faith when your eyes are enlightened in the Scripture. God's doing a lot of things, folks. He's done many, many wonderful things in all of our lives. He's done many, many wonderful things in our church. And let me tell you something. He didn't stop. But he says, you want to know what else is going on? Get in here, and I'll show you something. Just get in here and ask me when I'm ready. I'll show you something. And it'll help you. It'll really help you. Father, we're sure thankful tonight whenever we see what this is. I pray, Lord, as we go, that we will remember every day. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. For the simple reason, Father, there are some great things in here you want us to see. And we don't need to be... We don't need to keep coming to this Bible looking at it the way men in darkness look. We need to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. And you're the only one I know who can do it. And I pray you will in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.